clicking? Well, I'll just make sure I don't move too much. That's going to be tough for me, though. All right. Good morning, church.
Put it up here.
There, is that better? Hey, here we are. Awesome. All right. Well, good morning, church. Don't let this library I brought with me scare you. I'll explain as we go through. I'm actually going to pull over and use more than just the podium here today. So, Jim had asked me to share with you today, and, you know, I felt honored to be asked, and, you know, in true Luke nature, I like to tell stories. I like to share life experiences. I think it's one of the parts that bring, for me in my professional life, it helps me a lot to be able to just kind of relate to people and be able to kind of just say, hey, you know, I'm not just going to pull a bunch of scripture out and just be like, boom, 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 fire, brimstone, that kind of stuff. Let's talk about, you know, some real life stuff. And so today, my conversation, it's kind of titled, you know, the Lord establishes the steps, but it's really the journey in a conversation. So this week, I had my 45th birthday, 4.5 decades, and on my 45th birthday, I get the pleasure of being away from my family and traveling to the great state of Texas for a show. 100% would rather have been here in Ohio, but not necessarily disappointed that I missed the heat, the sleet, hail, torrential downpours. It was sunny, a little windy, but beautiful where I was, so I tried to bring it back. So far, so good. I decided, you know, I'd make the best of this journey. I'd make the best of it, and I would open up my heart, and I would just say, God, use this time that I am traveling this week to open my heart, listen, find the God moments in life to be able to bring and share. And the Holy Spirit, boy, did he open up. Did he really share with me today or over this past week? So first, I just want to say, you know, I really had to embrace Proverbs 16 and 1, 9, and 33 in Proverbs 16, if you really look at it, are basically all the same concept in different formats. It's, you can plan all you want. You can say that I'm going to do this, but it's really ultimately God who gets the steps, and it's ultimately God who says, well, actually, you're not going to do this. You're going to do that. and you know, you learn to just kind of embrace that, and I've had to really embrace that, it seems like this year especially. It reinforces this whole experience has reinforced me in this as well. For example, this year alone, I've had several times where I've had opportunities to witness or opportunities to be able to converse with people and talk about faith, and sometimes I hit the mark. Sometimes I completely missed the mark and I failed, but you know, I've had also problems with flying and delays and sleeping in airports and just all kinds of things where it's like, you know, hey, I'm going to go do this, and God says, well, maybe not, right? Maybe you're going to have a delay because I need you to talk to this person about faith. I need you to talk to this person about something that's going on and to be able to help encourage those people. And so I've had those moments, and it's been a blessing. Even through what normally would be a frustration. So with that, I mean, just continuing trying to keep my heart open, learning along the way, trusting in God, and just asking for him to refine me in the Holy Spirit as fire refines gold and silver. So let me share some refining moments from the eyes of Proverbs 16 from this past week. April 2nd, this past Tuesday, I departed for Austin. My flight leaves 9:55 a.m. If anyone remembers, there was a little bit of a torrential downpour, and I was leaving the house in the dark at about 6 a.m. I had points where the spray, I'd come up across water, not even know there's water, spray would be 2 to 3 times higher than my car. If you know me, I am not someone who likes to drive in the dark, let alone dark rain. And it was a little nerve-wracking, you know, but you know, I trusted God would get me to the airport on time. I thought I was really late to find out my flight was delayed. I should have known. God was with me on that delay. It worked out really well. But so I arrived at the terminal, and my flight's delayed 30 minutes. And I was actually thankful for that, that for this time. I wasn't have to worry about sleeping in an airport. It was a direct flight. You know, whenever it takes off, it takes off. And once we're on the flight, the pilot announces, oh, by the way, very bumpy, storms everywhere, going to be turbulent. You know, basically I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm not going to sleep, right? This ain't going to happen on this flight. And so I got a three-hour flight from Austin, or from Columbus to Austin, and I opened up my Bible, prayed, and I opened up my journal, and then I began to start to write notes and to journal along. And the first page of my journal, there's scripture. So the journal that I have, April, my wife got me, it has right on the front of it, you know, Proverbs 16:9, and then on each of the pages, there's little verses on the bottom of it. So I looked at the bottom of the page before I started writing. I was like, oh, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future of hope. That's from Jeremiah 29:11. And so after reading this, I reflected a bit, thought about, you know, well, you know, how has God's thoughts of peace been with me this past year? And I got to thinking, it's like, oh, man. You know, God gave me a position on Christians and Communications Board, being able to create opportunities for Christians around the nation to gather together and network and encourage each other. He gave me an opportunity through C-Suite and Christ, based in Wisconsin, to be able to listen to podcasts, socially network across the internet to grow and encourage in my faith. He gave me the opportunity with Vessels of Gold Ministry, opportunities to share with youth, opportunities to be part of a conference, opportunities that could just be a blessing to my heart. And even when I maybe make the mark, maybe when I didn't miss the mark, each one's a learning opportunity, being able to continue to grow. And in this, the last opportunity with Vessels of Gold, April was able to join me. And last minute, and she was by my side, and I saw the Holy Spirit speak through her in the attendance and to the conference. And to me, that just was truly a blessing indeed. Gave me peace. And then too, the, you know, all of you, I mean, the Kaleida Family Outreach Center, you know, being part of this church family has been an encouragement, has been a blessing for sure over these past several years. Thank you. That is a sincere thank you. And Faithful Friends Homestead that we have, that April runs from our home, our little 2 acres there, you know, God's provided blessings on that homestead for certain, where we use what God's blessed us with to help bless others. And, you know, being able to see those things, have that help grow the faith of not just myself, but the family, and to see those flourishings and the faith that has been growing over these last several years since we've been there, you know, such a blessing to my soul. The Lord has indeed given me encouragement and hope, and, you know, God willing, will continue to do so. Then I just came back. I'm on the flight again, and I think just overwhelmed, right? I'm at the verge of tears, but I'm not actually dripping, right? I'm not flowing out of water. But I feel this overwhelming just peace and joy that has came over me, and I thought, you know, God's going to do something here. I don't know what it is, but he's going to provide me, you know, something that is hopefully a little nugget that you'll be able to take today and help encourage you and help grow your faith as well. And so I saw where my Bible opened up, because I had mentioned earlier, I opened up my Bible, and I just plopped it open, and then I looked at my journal. And wouldn't you know it, my Bible was open to Proverbs 16. In the front of my journal has Proverbs 16:9 on it. And I knew right there and then, Proverbs 16 is right in my face. It's there screaming at me saying, you know, there's something here that God wants me to work through. Hence, my journey in a conversation through Proverbs 16. Now, I will warn you, I'm just started. I haven't actually got into everything yet. And it may be a little disjuncted because sometimes shiny things distract us. And, you know, God moments do that as well. God moments sometimes are the shiniest of things out there when we really have our eyes open and our hearts open to see and hear. And so I want to share with you today, and even through my journey, I just ask and I hope that as you bear along with me, and I pray that there'll be something in this conversation today, something that you will hear that will be an encouragement to you and or speak to your heart in a way that not I can do, but only Jesus Christ can do through the Holy Spirit. So let me circle back around. Flight, turbulent, shaken all over. I think maybe we had 30 minutes of actual smooth flying, just enough for them to run some beverages and some nuts and stuff down, right, for everybody. Luckily, it wasn't a full flight. We had some space. No middle seats. It's Southwest. No middle seats were used. So anyway, the first thing that pops out of my pages is Proverbs 16, 3 through 4, where it says, commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. The Lord has made everything for his own purposes, even the wicked, for a day of disaster. So, you know, I didn't have this lovely tome here when I was on the plane. This actually belongs to April. And, you know, in her infinite wisdom, which, you know, she's like, hey, I wanted, you know, she asked me if I wanted this reference Bible, the Believer's Bible Commentary, and her Bible, which is in the New Living Translation. And you can see who's the scholar here, right? My Bible's a lot thinner. But but anyway, in her, you know, she's like, hey, would you like these as well as I'm, you know, writing, taking my notes from these chicken scratches here into these lovely documents here to share with you today, to have the Bible commentary for references, right? And I thought to myself, you know what? That might have just been God saying, take a little extra help. So I grabbed a hold of these, and wouldn't you know it, the Believer's Bible Commentary here has something to say about these particular verses that I thought would be very well, very good to share. So the Bible Believer's Commentary, second edition, says in 16:3, the best way to ensure that our dreams and goals will be achieved is to dedicate our works to the Lord. And then J. Allen Blair advises, occasionally we find ourselves disturbed and depressed. Even in trying to do the Lord's work, could anything be further from what God desires? God cannot work through anxious hearts. Whenever a Christian reaches this state, he should stop at once and ask himself or herself, whose work is it? If it's God's work, never forget the burden of it is his too. You are not the important person. Christ is. He is at work through us. What should we do when we get things and things do not work well? We should go to him. Anything less is disobedient. It's relying on God. It's knowing that it's God's steps, not our own. So then I like where it elaborates on 16:4 as well, and it says, this verse isn't saying that, you know, people are damned from the get-go, right? It's saying that God has created certain men to be damned not by reparation, not by their own deliberate, or it's by their own deliberate choices, not by God's decree, right? God is not saying that people are damned to hell or given to heaven from birth. It's by man's choices through free will. And then the judgment for those choices. But so I looked through that and I brought that through, and I'm like, you know, God did speak through April, and I appreciate that. And so now, circle back around to the flight. And one of my first Proverbs 16 moments of the week How many times, I'm on the flight, how many times do we church without even thinking? We'll sometimes jump to a conclusion about someone before we even talk to them, before we even get to know them. Sometimes, you know, sharing faith can be scary. I mean, it can be downright daunting, especially in today's world where we don't know if they might be open to Christ or if they might be hostile to the message. You know, we have, you look at the craziness going around in the world today, right? So it can be risky. It can be a gamble. And not so much here in the United States, you know, right now, but with everything going on, it could be coming soon. You never know. But I digress. Anyway, there was a gentleman. So I mentioned there was no aisles, or no middle seats in the plane. There was me on the window, a gentleman on the aisle. And he was, you know, again, jumping to the conclusion, right? Middle Eastern, Asian type of thing. The little bit I did hear him speak, a really thick accent from that, you know, that kind of region. But otherwise, a nice, you know, quiet gentleman. I didn't know. I'm thinking in my head, I don't know if this guy's Muslim, I don't know if he's Christian, I don't know if he's going to be, you know, hostile or open, and I'm like, you know, I've got things to do, you know, I got to write my journal, I got a journal, I got to prepare. Anyway, I started journaling, and at one point, I stopped, closed all my books, beverage service was coming through, I was like, I'm going to take a break, and when I did, I closed up my journal, but my terracotta pencil, right? Terracotta pencil actually fell down onto the floor, rolled under the seats. And this gentleman, he insisted he would find that pencil for me. And I'm like, no, I've got like a whole bag of pencils and pens. I don't need that pencil. It's fine. It's very minute. He insisted. So I don't know if that was because he saw my Bible out and he saw me doing these things, but he insisted that that pencil was so important that he had to find it. He searched not just around the floor of our seat. He went out in the aisle, went behind, searched those seats as well. There was only one person in the window seat in there. He looked through the entire, like, it ended up being a couple rows. He found that pencil, brought it back to me, and I didn't even think, without any forethought, I said, "Wow, what was once lost has now been found. Thank you." The gentleman just nodded. And then I noticed, Robin's not here today, but Robin, you know, sends us cards all the time, gives us bookmarks. I had a bookmark in my Bible from Robin that had scripture on it and about how committing to Christ and things of that nature. And I decided that, you know what, I'm going to give this to that gentleman. And so I did. And I gave it to the gentleman. He was a little reluctant at first, but then he took it with gratitude and you know, was quiet the rest of the flight. I didn't know if he was going to keep it, didn't know if he was going to toss it. But I thought, you know what, maybe that'll be a little nugget for him, or, you know, whether he is or isn't Christian kind of thing. When we got to the end of our flight and we landed, I noticed as we were getting up, he had taken the bookmark. He had one of them iPhone Pros, larger iPhones with a clear case on the back, and he put the bookmark inside the back of his phone, and you could see it outside the clear case. And to me, I was like, oh, I found that to be encouraging to know that if he's not a Christian, he's not afraid to accept the word and to show it. And if he is a Christian, that my hope is that that's an encouragement to him to be strong and to grow deeper in his faith. And maybe he's already, you know, one of the saints, I don't know, but to have that encouragement and to know that I was able to take something that, you know, someone from this church, you know, that Robin had provided to me that encouraged me to encourage others was a blessing to my soul. I would never have guessed that would have happened on that flight. My plan was to get on a flight, journal all day, you know, journal for 3 hours and get off the flight and go to my hotel. God's had different steps. He had different ideas for my day. And it's those different ideas that encouraged me and gave me that blessing. So I praise God for that. And it shows, too, that just sometimes simple gestures, because we didn't speak much, simple gestures actually speak more than words a lot of times. Now, back to my Bible and journaling. Again, I had mentioned I might fly a little bit all over the plane because, hey, it was turbulent. Same with my message, right? But what pops off the pages now that, you know, I've had these experiences and those kind of things? Right at the next thing that pops off is, it's better a little righteousness. Better a little with righteousness than gain much with injustice. these verses, I tell you, it popped right off the page right after, you know, after these experiences. And this verse, it kicked into my mind, and it really brought to forethought that, you know what, it's the right things that we do. It's trying to align in God's plan. And when we fail, which we will, I mean, we're human. We'll fail from time to time. But we pray, we repent, we do the next right thing. Or at least we try. And the journey, seeking God, asking for gaining wisdom to do better each day and every day than the day before, that is what we should strive for. And this came just as this verse just punches me in the face. And I'm journaling and I'm writing these things down. And I'm like, you know, even as we strive for these and we know that we will fail, but yet we keep doing and keep getting back up, it's when we fail and we don't get back up that we truly fail. Otherwise, failure is learning, right? We need to take those steps. The first slide I showed was a little baby step, little baby taking steps. Is we're taking those baby steps in our failures to help us learn, help us grow, help us become better. And as we do those things, you know, we'll never be perfect. There's only one person that's perfect, that's God. But we can keep trying to get better. And, you know, as we do so, it brought back that, you know, I would rather have a very little with a clear conscience than have a lot by crooked means. Oh, well, then the flight actually does land, you know, back and forth, right? Turbulent. Patience with me. The flight, you know, as it lands and they're announcing to close the trays and seat upright position and those kind of things, I noticed at the bottom of that journaling page, because I had now moved on to the second page, there was the verse, "I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift my hands," from Psalm 63:4. I read this, and all I can say is yes and amen. Yes and amen. God is good all the time. This was the end of my day one notes and journaling, but I kept an open heart and prayed, you know, that God would give me eyes to see and ears to hear through the rest of the journey. So not a lot of people know what I do for a living. I just thought I'd share a little bit. This is the event I was heading off to. And so you can see there's a bunch of tables here. This is where we had lunch. And then a bunch of people, they've given out little donations and stuff to charities. There was about 1,700 attendees from all over the United States. And I do this thing I like to call tablescapes. So whenever I'm in sales, so whenever I do a table or a display or an exhibit, I like to make something or make it look pretty. And so for the first day, I did a little rectangle with a T and an X in it for Texas, and then I put the little gold Werther's on there to represent the gold star people that make the great state of Texas great. And then down the second day, I tried to make a makeshift state flag for Texas out of silver and white as best I could, right? But it's just kind of, you know, it was a busy week, and I always, when I have a table, I always sit right there in the back corner. You'll notice there's my Bible, there's my journal, and there's a little notepad. I've had many times, you know, as I've been to different events like this, it's about being authentic. I'm the same person here as I am there, as I am at home. I don't have a persona for each different scenario. I will tell people, may God bless you. I will tell, every time we say, hey, let's get together in a week, I say, God willing, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And that's the truth. You know, the industry that I'm in, especially, I'm blessed because we're, 99% of the people I talk to are Christian conservatives, which is perfect for me because I like to bless people as far as, tell them, God bless you and those kind of things and pray with them. So here, for example, is just a couple, another Proverbs 16 moments from our show. The middle day, which would be April 3rd, I had a potential partner that I've been talking to for several months come up to my table, and he provided me an update. He felt he had to have this conversation in person because he didn't want to send it over an email or over a call. And we've been talking, like I said, now for several months, and Sean, he comes up to me and he says, hey, I wanted to chat with you in person. I want to let you know that even though when we started talking and I wanted to make sure that we had everything wrapped up and finalized and done before the got to this show, we're doing some changes. It's going to probably be delayed like 6 months. You could tell he just felt terrible delivering this news. And you know what? I instantly did, after he was done, kind of word vomiting, if you will, right? I just went over, had this on the table, went over and said, hey, Sean, look, what does this say? It says, the man's heart plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. When the timing is right, the timing is right. And that's okay with me, and I could see just wash over Sean this whole relief. And we were able to then have just an open conversation for 30 more minutes about faith and God and what they have going on in their business and those kind of things. And, as at the same time we're having this conversation, other people are kind of going through the aisleways and things of that nature. But I let them know I'm a patient person, and it's all in God's timing. And whatever God has intended, whether that's them working with us or them working with someone else, because he just let me know we're in the top two. And I said, hey, it'll work out the way God intends. And it just was such a blessing. And that little nugget right here is where I pulled this from. Look at that. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get insight rather than silver. The insight that I was able to share and be able to glean from Sean was more valuable to me than silver or gold, because I knew where he was, he knew where I was, and we can now progress forward and still keep that conversation, keep that relationship growing, and have that faith grow as well within our conversations. So, what a blessing to have that moment, to deepen the relationship, to gain that insight, and to have the conversation. Everyone thinks that doing a testimony sometimes is you have to go up and do bop, 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 and tell them all these things. Sometimes a testimony is just a conversation. It's just talking to people and letting them know where you're at, and letting them know that, yes, hell's real, heaven's real, there will be a judgment day, but we can talk through it. We can have a conversation and help each other out, help each other grow. On to the next, another Proverbs 16 moment. On the last day, so this would be April 4th, of the expo, I had a drawing. I was given away, it says enter to win. I can use that anywhere. I don't have to have a specific thing, right? So I had this little thing collecting business cards. I drew the winner, and I thought, okay, they're announcing them at the front. I'm at the back. I got to run all the way up to the front, give them the card to announce, have them run all the way back to my table for the person to meet me. I pulled the card. I walk out to the main aisle. The gentleman that won is literally, just an aisle away from me. And I went up to him. I was like, hey, I legit pulled your name out of the card. Do you want me to go have him announce it, or would you just like it now? Well, I was like, oh, that's fine. Let's have it now. And didn't have to worry about announce it. Saved me some steps. I start walking back. And here's where the moment happens that a gentleman is sitting right next, or sitting right at the end of where my aisle is. And we get to talking. And so this gentleman, Tim, from Southwest Texas Telephone, he made a comment to me. He said, hey, I just want you to know I appreciate The way you handle yourself and the way that you talk about, you know, God and, you know, giving people, you know, saying people, God bless you, things like that. And, you know, we talked for about 30, 40 minutes or so. He talked about how he witnessed with brother and his brother came to Christ, you know, and how, I shared a little bit about my testimony. And then he ultimately asked me, he's like, do you know a guy by the name of Ray Comfort? I was like, yeah, I know of Ray Comfort, yeah. He's like, he said, you know, here, I want to give you something. He said, I have these things in my pocket. He reaches into his pocket and he gives me this thing. And it's this. So I don't know if you've ever seen one of these before, but it's $1 million. Look at that. If only it didn't say this is not legal tender. Right? But Ray Comfort from Living Waters has these little $1 million bill things that you can get, and he was handing them out, and I thought, you know, that's pretty awesome. So I, you know, stuck my bag. We talked a little bit more, and then, you know, after everything was done, got in the car, drove to the airport, grabbed me a quick bite to eat, got to my gate, boarded my plane, and wouldn't you know it, I'm on a plane again, finally heading back. Luckily, I don't have problems getting back. I always have problems getting to places. But I decided, you know what, I want to examine this $1 million bill. And if anybody wants to look at the physical bill, at any point, they're welcome to. And then I put a couple pictures of it up here, too. But I thought, you know what, I want to examine this. You know, there was a reason that he gave me this. There was a reason God wanted me to have this. Let's take a look at it. So, again, a Proverbs 16 moment as I notice the serial number. So right here, look at the serial number. Does anything pop up? I'm just curious. Does anything pop up right out of your minds when you first see that serial number right there? What's the first thing you notice? Corinthians, yes. Yes, it's a Bible verse. Well, I got to looking at it deeper. Is there just one Bible verse there, or is there more? And I'm like, I know enough about Ray Comfort to be dangerous. I was like, let me look into this a little bit. And I got to thinking, and you know, I thought maybe at first, I thought, this JS, maybe that's Jesus. Well, or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's James. Well, I thought, let's look at James. Let's look at James 2:10. And it says, for a person who keeps all of the laws except one is just as guilty as the person who has broken all of God's laws. Yeah, that sounds about right. Sounds like something Ray would say, right? So it's like, okay, well, the next one was obvious to me, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you failed the test of genuine faith. Yeah, that sounds about like Ray. That sounds about right. And then I noticed on the right side here, I don't know if you can see that or not, there's a runner with a little 1 Corinthians 9:24-27 down there. And, it's like, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All the athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win the prize that will fade away. But we do what we do for an external prize. So run with purpose in every step for that eternal prize. I am not just shadow boxing, it says. It says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. That hit me hard, right? How many of us would rather be in a life of just participation awards, right? Everybody gets an award. It's all good, right? Doesn't matter how hard I try, I'm just going to get a participation award. That's fine. Well, unfortunately, that's not how it works. God loves us, but on the day of the Lord, the wheat from the chaff still gets separated, the sheep and the goats still get separated. There is no participation award. Well done, good and faithful servant, or lake of fire, right? There's just the one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's running the race, seeking him. He's the finish line. He's the goal. go for him all with your heart. And it hit me, ton of bricks. I need Jesus Christ more than ever. I need him to protect me. I need him to guide me and provide not just words in the path for him, but for him above all things. We can all use improvement on this, and I am no exception. Am I right, church? I mean, yeah. I have all this when I'm realizing I'm examining this. And then I notice on the bottom of my journal page, as I'm writing these things and I'm looking at the bill, there's the journal. Let's see if it's the next one. Nope, not there yet. Sorry. I'm almost done, I promise. I'm getting there. But the bottom of my journal page says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. And this calmed my soul. Again, trust in Jesus. It's like, okay, you're trying to convict me, but yet I know I got to rely on you, Lord Jesus Christ, to get me there. And so I was able to calm down. I put the $1 million bill back into my Bible. And, I use it as a book. I'm going to use it as a bookmark to replace the one I gave away. And maybe one day God will give me an opportunity to share this with someone as well. So I went ahead and I decided that, you know what, this is definitely a God moment as well. So I closed up the Bible, journal, and tried to rest. Closed it all up. The flight home's not turbulent, but for the life of me, I could not, to no avail, fall asleep or have any rest. So after a few moments, I thought, you know what, pick up the Bible. Let's see what's in there. Let's, what leads me. And pops off the page, Acts 22. It's where it opens up to, and it just, 22:10. And it says, "Get up and go." A little before that, a little after, but it's "get up and go." I prayed over this, and in my mind, I hear, maybe, there you go. This is where we're at, the three prayers. But I hear this, and I just instantly, I'm praying, I need to stop being lukewarm. I need to stop being like the church of Laodicea. I need to get moving. I need to seek, learn, aid, be generous, encourage, work on the temple, being ourselves, being healthy, being a temple of God, so that we can get active in temple work. And then I wrote this down in my journal and followed it with, "In Jesus' name I pray." Then I page through the Bible, and Luke 6:43-45 jumps out at the page. It's the tree of and its fruit. And I read it, and it talks about how you can tell a person by their fruit. A good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And I'm looking at the time. April had a great commentary for me to share. We're going to skip that today. But again, I wrote in my journal, "Oh, Lord, I want to be that man. I want to be that man who brings forth good things from the good stored in my heart. Lord, fill not only my heart, but the heart of your church. Fill us with the good of your word so that we may hear it, and by persevering, produce a good crop. In Jesus' name, I pray." And then, as I was writing these down, I came to the parable of the sower in Luke 8:15. And I then, after reading through the parable of the sower, immediately, I follow that with, "Lord, not just the man who has goodness in his heart to be able to have and produce good fruit, but Lord, help us, your church, be the good soil, that we with good and noble hearts can hear your word, retain it, preserving it, and producing a crop in your name, we pray, Jesus Christ." And then last on that journal page, as I was writing these last couple things, I have this verse here that's at the bottom of that journal where it says, "May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way," from 2 Thessalonians 3:16. This process has been a true blessing for me to be able to share these words with you today and to have this information that's brought, you know, was brought to me through, you know, just the Holy Spirit. I truly felt was bringing this to me to share these Proverbs moments from the Proverbs 16. And, you know, I guess what I'd like to just close with is Proverbs 16:31. And, you know, it says, "Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained by living a godly life." Not everyone's going to agree with me on this, but I'll tell you, I pray for us as a church that one day we may have the grayest gray of hair that anyone has ever seen. And I say that not just in a joking manner, but truly that in our hearts, we will be able to keep our hearts open, our eyes open, and our ears wide open to not only hear, see, and know Jesus Christ in our lives, that in every day we can find little God moments, little moments where we can say, yeah, that was God. That was Jesus giving me my steps. That was totally not me. And then we can use those to encourage ourselves to be good witnesses for Jesus Christ. So in Jesus Christ's name, I pray. And that's my message for the day.